On the way home on Thursday, after I was leaving Emory Hospital, I noticed as I was riding down the road, there were signs in people's yards on the right-hand side of the road and the left-hand side of the road. Signs. Every single house had a big sign in their yard that said this: slow down, slow down, slow down. Let's say that together. Slow down. Say it again. Slow down. You might ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to slow down. That's the message that God birthed in my heart to preach today. Slow down. Slow down. How many can remember? I don't know about y'all, but I can remember times when I'd go to the supper table, mom and daddy and our children when I was young, just a boy, and I would be hungry and ready to go, and boy, I'd be putting away the food, and I can remember my dad saying, slow down, son. Slow down. I remember those days eating at the table, and your mom or daddy said, slow down, son. You're not going to a fire. Slow down. You know what, though? Hear me. This time of the year, a little over a week away, Thanksgiving, we will celebrate that special day together with our families. And shortly after that, Christmas is just around the corner. These next few weeks can be very busy. Busy, busy, busy. Trying to do everything and go everywhere. Things to do, people to meet, and places to go. It can be a very stressful time of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And if we're not careful, we can be overly stressed with getting gifts and with trying to get together with our families and decorations and all of that that comes with this time of the year. And I believe the Lord wants some of us to learn, and I'm preaching to myself, slow down, slow down. You see, we don't have to have our peace and our joy chased away from us during this time of the year. God wants us to experience His glory and His peace. If you believe that, say amen. God, during this time of the year, wants us to learn to slow down, rest in Him. And speaking of chasing away our peace and our joy and our presence of the Holy Spirit of God, glowing in that glory, I heard about a story about a young man that moved to a place near the river. He had never been to the river where he was at, and so he went down to the river. It was a hot summer day. He wanted to cool off a little bit in the water, and so he went down to the river. He noticed an older man that was fishing right there on the bank of the river. And he said to the man, he said, are there alligators in the river? The man said, no, son, there's not any alligators in the river. So the young man dipped in the water, began to swim a little bit. He said to the man, are you sure there's not an alligators in the water? The man said, nope, there's not an alligators in the water. So the young man began to swim almost to the other side and swam back. And he looked down the young man as he was swimming. He noticed some gray objects lurking in the beneath the water. And he wondered what those gray objects were. That is, the young man swimming. And he looked back to the man and said, sir, I thought you told me there were not any alligators in the water. The man said, I'll assure you there's not any alligators in the water. The young man said, but what are those gray objects down there? The man said, they're not alligators, they're sharks. They chased all the alligators away. Hello. Slow down. We don't have to let the things of this world chase away our intimacy with the Lord. And I believe God is going to encourage some of us today and speak to our heart today about the message, slow down. Y'all look at me. Some of us need to slow down. And I want to share with you five reasons why you and I need to slow down. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. In the book of Luke, I looked at my records, and according to my records, it was 6 years ago, November the 7th, the Lord had me to preach from this text. But I just want you to know, it's a totally different message. You can preach from the same text numerous times and still not exhaust the Word of God. Hallelujah. It is God's living Word. As you turn to Luke 10, stand to your feet. And I want to read this morning this message as we get into the Word of God. Slow down. There are five reasons we're going to discover from this passage that you and I need to slow down. Number one, The first reason is we need to slow down to enjoy the journey with our family and friends. We need to slow down to enjoy the journey with our family and friends. Matter of fact, I can look out of the congregation today. Y'all look at me. Some of you are so stressed. Some of you are so tired. Some of you are having a hard time even focusing and concentrating on what God wants to tell you this morning. Maybe you've had a hard week. Maybe you've got something on your mind. Maybe you're thinking about something you're going to do afterwards. But today, God wants us to zero in on Him. And so in the Luke chapter 10, I'll share with you the other four reasons why we need to slow down in a moment. Luke 10 and verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. That is, Jesus was received in the house of Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me here to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about much. You're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is the word of God. Father, I thank you that you are alive. You are a living God. In spite of the cloudy weather, Lord, and we thank you for the rain. But God, I pray our hearts will become alive and love, passionately pursuing a love relationship with you. It's all about you today, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about any of us. It's about you. We pray you'll change us. We pray you'll deliver us, Father, from any and all distractions of the world and even the flesh that are keeping us from enjoying intimacy with you. Lord, you just got to help us today. I confess I'm nothing, and Jesus, I'm totally, Lord, dependent upon you today to speak to us and speak through us and wash us clean. And Lord, anoint us with fresh oil. We praise you. Your word is alive, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, I pray somehow that, Lord, sinners will be gripped under the throes of Holy Ghost conviction about a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And then, Lord, us who are blood-bought and blood-washed, Father, you'll give us what we need today. You'll help us, Lord, to draw near to you today. Father, you'll refresh us and renew us. And God, I thank you now and praise you for speaking to my heart about this message. And I praise you, Lord, how you're going to use it in people's lives to honor your name. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. And there are five reasons why you and I need to slow down. Here they are. You ready to take notes? Number one, slow down and enjoy the journey with your family. How many believe that you need to slow down and enjoy the journey with your family? One, two, three. Others of you need to get a life now, because life only comes around once, as you know, and that's not to get all the gusto you can. But watch this. After this Thanksgiving, you won't have another time to spend with your family like this Thanksgiving. It's over. Once it's over, it's over. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Once Christmas is over, it's over. You're with your family. And we need to learn to enjoy the journey with our family and friends, number one. Some of us have a hard time doing that, don't we? Some of us are so stressed out because of places to go and things to do and people to meet that we don't enjoy being with our family. It's just like a drudgery. It's just like something that we have to do, and we really don't want to do it because it, for various reasons. Well, number one, the reason you need to slow down, the reason I need to slow down is to enjoy the journey with your family and friends. Number two, we'll see it in a moment in this text. Number two, the second reason we ought to slow down is this. Slow down not only to enjoy the presence and enjoy the journey with our family and friends, but watch this. Number two, we need to learn to slow down, as we're going to see about Martha and Mary. Oh, yeah. It's going to come alive to you. Let's pray one more time. We don't normally do that, but I feel impressed with the Lord. We need to pray right now because some of you are fixing to cut me off. Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you to, God, quicken our minds. We need you to stir our hearts. We need you right now, Jesus, to help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We praise you, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Father God, we're your children and we need heaven's help. Give us grace to come under. Give us grace to yield. Give us grace to submit to your lordship. And we bless you now and praise you. And thank you, Jesus. What you're up to in our life. God, help us to be still. Help us, Lord, to take time and wait on you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I might pray another time in just about 5 more minutes, so be ready. Hey, listen. You know what? Listen to this. You know what? We need to slow down and watch to get to know Jesus better. How many believe that we need to slow down to get to know Jesus better? Y'all agree? This means yes. This means no. Do y'all agree? We need to slow down. Guess what? Jesus wants to get to know you better. He wants us to get to know him better. Yes, number three, there's a third reason we need to slow down. Not only to get to know Jesus better. After all, isn't that what this is all about? I said, isn't that what this is all about? I can't hear you. Hello. If our motives are not to get to know him better, we have missed the mark. We have got the wrong motives. We're at the wrong place. Hello. It's about him. Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. Let's put the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Number three, there's a third reason why we need to slow down. Not only to get to know him better, not only to enjoy the journey with our family and friends. Number three, we need to slow down to prepare for the life hereafter. We need to slow down to prepare for the life hereafter. How many believe there's a life hereafter? How many believe that we need to slow down and prepare for it? I know you don't want to think about it. I know you could jam and cram your mind and your schedule so you won't have to think about the life hereafter. Just do busy, busy, busy like Martha. But wait a minute. We need to slow down. Number four. Slow down. Watch this now. See if you agree with me. We need to slow down. Number four. Since you've been blessed, since I've been blessed, we need to slow down and be a blessing to somebody else. Oh, brother, if you'll catch that, sister, if you'll catch that, it'll change your life when you leave the house of God today. Slow down. Since you've been blessed and we've been blessed, slow down and be a blessing to somebody else. Number five, we need to slow down and serve the Lord with the gifts he's given you and share the love of Jesus with a lost and dying world. All of that's number five. Number one, we need to slow down and enjoy the journey with our family and friends. And there are two parts to what I want to share under heading number one. Look at this now. Number one, we need to slow down and get refocused on the main attraction. We need to get refocused. Let me repeat that. We need to get refocused from distraction from the main attraction. We need to get, some of you today, you and I need to get refocused from the main attraction. You'll understand what I'm talking about in a moment. The main attraction, we need to get refocused from distraction. Why are we so distracted these days? Why are we just so jumble-bumble minds these days? But why is it we can't be focused on what the Lord wants us to be focused on? Because we're distracted. Distraction from the main attraction. And then number two, you'll see in a moment, because our care, C-A-R-E, our care turns into complaining. That is, our worries begin to complain. That is, we're under a lot of pressure and stress, and the first thing we do is start complaining. So we need to slow down, and because our care turns into complaining, or our anxiety, watch this, y'all listen to me, our anxiety turns into an attitude. You know what I'm talking about, Christmas time, getting all the lights together, hanging up the stuff, run here, run there. Next thing you know, our anxiety. I wonder if I can get the right gift. I can wonder who I got to cook this turkey. Watch Martha. Look at her now. Let's learn from Martha. Slow down. Watch Martha. I got to get tea on the table. I've got the bread's in the oven. Jesus is coming, and I've got to get everything ready. Busy, busy meatloaf. Martha, she's busy, she's busy. You've been busy all week, hadn't you? Hello, you've been busy all week. You've been going, going, going all week. But if we're not careful, we get distracted from the main attraction. Jesus is coming. Jesus is at your house. Jesus is here today. Hello? And it's easy to get distraction from the main attraction. Martha is distracted from the main attraction. Watch this. Now, Martha, there's nothing wrong, Martha, with cooking a meal. How many believe there's nothing wrong with cooking a meal? Hello, I'm glad that Martha can cook. I'm glad that, praise God, Martha's getting supper on the table. But the Lord spoke to my heart. Here's what Martha, her dilemma is. Martha's focused on this. Martha is a mover and a shaker. Martha gets things done. But Martha's distraction is from the main attraction. Martha, nothing wrong with being busy. Nothing wrong with getting things done. But Martha, you left something out. Hey, listen. Listen to me. Martha, you've left something out. Hey, listen to me, men. We get focused on task. How many, don't raise your hand, how many have been focused on task this week? And ladies too, you've been focused on a certain task, accomplishing. I've got to get supper ready, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to put all my energy into it, and then I'm going to get it done. There's nothing wrong, listen to me, the corporate world, even the secular world, you know what they do? They're looking for people, y'all don't miss this, they're looking for people in the upper level management who not only know how to accomplish tasks, but don't miss it, but also know how to work with and appreciate people in the process. Don't miss it. Martha is focused on the task, but she forgets Jesus is the main attraction. And so it is with us. Am I preaching to any Sunday school teachers? Am I preaching to anybody that's working at Awana's? Am I preaching to anybody that's in Access? Am I preaching to anybody that's singing in the choir? Am I preaching to anybody that's preaching and teaching Sunday? Am I preaching to anybody? Listen, beloved, God has so dealt with my heart about this thing. You know what we say? I got to go to choir practice today at 4:30. I got to do Awana's at 6 o'clock. I got to go to church today and go to Sunday school at 8:30. You need to change that vocabulary. It's not we got to go. I want to go. I get to serve the Lord. I get to teach Sunday school. I get to sing in the choir. I get to work with the Awanas. I get to work with Access. Brother and sister, it will change us completely when we start saying, thank God, I don't have to, but I get to. Oh, yeah. That'll change you. You've been whining about that schedule and time and all of that stuff. Martha, you've gotten distraction. Your distraction is from the main attraction. Stay focused. Accomplish the task. But watch this. People are important. Did y'all hear me? People are important. Matter of fact, this week you'll have a chance to probably walk by two or three or four people that are lost and they need somebody to talk with them about Jesus. But we're so focused on our task that we're so busy we don't have time to do that. Don't be like Martha. Speaking of focus, I heard about a daddy and a boy. His little boy, 4 years old, were riding down the road in their car. That daddy was really trying to teach and train that little boy. He was concerned about his little boy, what he would see. They were riding down the road in a car. By that time, a nudist colony came riding by on a bicycle. I'm talking about a nudist colony. Naked as a jaybird. Riding by, the daddy said, oh no, what is my son going to see? He braced himself. And about that time, he heard his son say, daddy, look, look, daddy. His daddy said, oh no, he just braced himself. And the boy said, look, daddy, they're not wearing a helmet. We get focused. and need to get refocused today. Is there anybody here that's been need to get a little refocused? You need to get a little refocused. Your priorities hadn't been just right. You've been spending a lot of time doing that, but you hadn't been spending a lot of time doing this. And enjoy the journey with your family. Our care becomes into complaining. Watch Martha. Martha, Martha, meatloaf Martha. I'm busy, Jesus, Jesus. Tell Mary to get up. Mary's not helping me, Jesus. Our working and our task sometimes turns into whining and complaining. Am I preaching to anybody today? Hello. Our care turns into complaining. Our anxiety turns into agitation. Inwardly she's anxious, but outwardly she's agitated. Get them to help. How many when you're at work now, you know exactly when it was. You know exactly where you were at. You're working and you're doing hard work and you're working hard and you're trying to do what, and then you look around and say, well, they're not doing anything. And they're not doing anything. I swear that old distraction from the main attraction will come. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. When you go to your job tomorrow, or whether you work or not work, whether you're at home, I want you to know it's not just about worshiping God on Sunday. Bless God. You can take Jesus with you tomorrow. Hello? And if you just make your place, you make your little workplace a haven of rest, I'll assure you it'll change your relationship with Him and it'll change those that are around you. Amen. I love Martha. I do. You know why I love Martha? I think Martha got a real breakthrough. Here's why I think Martha got a breakthrough. I read over there in John chapter 12. I also read over there in Mark chapter 14, complementary text. And here's what I find in John 12. Scholars are disagreeing on, actually, if this was the same event or a different event. Frankly, it really doesn't matter. The point is this. In John 12, there is Martha. Now watch this. In Luke 10, here's Martha and Mary and Jesus. More than likely, Lazarus was probably there because that was the home of Martha. And Jesus learned how to enjoy the journey, slow down. But over there in John 12, guess who's there? And guess who's there in Mark chapter 14? More than Jesus, more than just Martha, more than just Lazarus, disciples are there. But you know what I read in John chapter 12? I find this. Martha's still in the kitchen. Martha's still doing stuff, but I don't hear Martha complaining anymore. Hello. I think Martha got a breakthrough. I think when Martha saw the Lord Jesus in John chapter 11, and Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. I think Martha said, yes, I know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha got a breakthrough. You can have a breakthrough today. You may have been distracted from the main attraction. Your cares may have turned into complaining. Your anxiety may have turned into bad attitude. But today, that can change today, because this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Martha got a breakthrough. You going to get a breakthrough? You going to stop that complaining? You going to stop all that worrying? Number two, there's a second reason why you and I need to slow down. Let's say it together. Slow down. Say it one more time. Slow down. I'm preaching to myself. Number two, to get to know Jesus better. Get to know Him better. You see what Mary was doing? Two things Mary was doing. Number one, she was learning to love Jesus more. How many want to love Jesus more? Come on, that's what it's all about. If you don't want to love Jesus more, there's something wrong. You need to get born again. Love Him more. Not only did Mary want to love Him more, but watch this. Mary wanted to learn to listen to Him more. Love Him more, listen to Him more. Where'd I get that? In the text? Look over there. I think it's verse 40. And Martha, well, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also, what? Sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Mary wants to get to know Jesus better. Is that your prayer today? Did you come to church today to get to know Jesus better? What is your motive for coming to church? Well, it's just the thing I do every Sunday. Well, have you gotten distracted from the main attraction? Wait a minute. It's to love Him more. It's to get closer to Him. It's to become more and more like Him. And I'll tell you how God does that. When the Word of God is proclaimed and the Spirit of God reveals the truth of God to our hearts, if we obey, if we surrender, if we submit, if we follow through what God tells us to do, then we become more and more conformed to His image. However, on the other hand, if we grieve the Holy Spirit and say, well, I may not be like everybody else, but I'm all right and I'm not doing too bad, then we grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. Instead of saying, Jesus, I want to learn to love you more. I want to spend time with you, Lord. I want to learn to listen to you. Speak to me. One, she wanted to learn to love Jesus more. She's sitting at his feet. Oh, that's where the Lord, listen to me. Hey, y'all, listen to me. If you come to church today, I love you, but I got to tell you this. If you come to church today and you don't get around the feet of Jesus and you leave the church, you came for the wrong reasons. If you hadn't done business with the Lord today, you come for the wrong reasons. I know you hadn't come to be entertained because, you know, we don't believe in just entertaining. But you come for the... Hey, listen, are you drawing near to him now? Are you searching your heart now? Are you saying, Jesus, help that old stubborn pride of mine and that old stiff neck of mine, help it to bend, help it to submit. Help me, dear Lord, to come as a little child to trust in you and believe in you. Mary, learn how to love Jesus more. Mary, learn how to listen to his words. I love this story that I once read. A young man was working on his doctoral thesis. And part of his doctoral thesis was to go into a mission field. And the mission field, in this case, was the Navajo Indians in the southwest part. And this young man left his home doing some research on this doctoral thesis. But part of the plan was that he would live in the same huts that they lived in, the Navajo Indians. He would eat the same food that the Navajo Indians ate. He would work right beside them in the fields. And just so happens, he stayed at an old grandmother's house. The grandmother didn't know any English. She couldn't speak any English. On the other hand, he didn't know any Navajo language. But by and by, months passed by. He was there for a year. He taught that old grandmother a few words in English. She taught him a few words in Navajo language, the dialect. But time came for this young man to go back to finish his doctoral thesis. And so the Navajo Indians, they had grown close to this young man. They loved him, and the young man loved them. And so they were going to give him a surprise going away celebration. And so they got together, and the surprise celebration, the grandmother, as she was telling this young man, now if you've ever been on the mission field, you can relate to what I'm talking about. The grandmother, it's a very emotional time when you go somewhere and you're with people and then you leave. By the way, tonight, Lord willing, we'll be showing some pictures tonight about the mission trip to Trinidad. New Rocky Creek Baptist Church was represented at Trinidad. And I didn't take a lot of pictures, but Lord willing, we're going to try to get some of those tonight and share with you what God did on the mission field. I believe we ought to be on missions every day. How many believe that? Not only Latter and Roddy Moon, not only the Good Samaritan with the shoe boxes, but we ought to be on missions every day. And certainly this time of the year is a time of missions. We are on missions. We've been called by God to serve him. Let me finish the story. This old grandmother saw this young man, went up to him, took her hands beside his face, tears streaming down her face. And here's what she said. She said, I like me best when I'm with you. I like me best when I'm with you. She didn't know a whole lot of English, but I like me best when I'm with you. She said to the young man, you know what? I don't know about y'all, but I want you to know I like me best when I'm with Jesus. Something about when we're with Jesus. There's something about Jesus. He just brings out the best in us. I need somebody to help me there. I said, people with Jesus, he brings out the best in us. Jesus has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know about you. I don't know where you'd be today. But I want you to know, had the Lord not have saved me, had the Lord not have rescued me, had the Lord not have changed my heart, he has done more in my life than I ever would have dreamed. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. He's the best thing that ever happened to you. And don't get over it. He brings out the best in me and the best in you. Oh, yes, he does. Number three, there's a third reason why we need to slow down. Let's say that together. Slow down. One more time. Slow down. Why? Number three, not only to get to know Jesus better. Number three, to prepare for eternity, the life hereafter. How many believe there's a hereafter? You've heard me say, I go from room to room sometimes wondering what I'm hereafter. Hello. I believe in the hereafter. But really, there's a hereafter. There is a hereafter. Listen to me. Mary. How in the world did Mary have such incredible discernment and insight? Do you know what Mary did? Do you know what Mary did not miss that disciples missed? We look in John chapter 12. Here's what Jesus said. Mary comes up with that alabaster ointment box. Costly perfume. Whew. 1 year salary. Whew. Breaks it open. Pours it. Why is she doing that? Is she showing off? Is she just trying to get the center stage? Mary, what are you doing? Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus said. She has prepared my body for the burial. John 12, verse 7, I think it is. You mean to tell me that Mary knew that Jesus was going to die? Watch this. His disciples are oblivious. They have no idea what's going on. He's told them, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And they're arguing about who's going to be on the right hand, who's going to be on the left hand. They missed the boat like we missed the boat. Mary didn't miss the boat. Mary was preparing for the life hereafter. Watch her now. She breaks the ointment. I can see her, and the ointment just covers Jesus. Sweet perfume fills the room. Jesus said, let her alone. She had done what she could. I believe Mary, no doubt, according to Matthew 28, according to Mark chapter 16, according to John 20, according to Luke 24, guess who was at the tomb? Five of those ladies at the tomb. They were going to anoint the body. Listen to me. Prepare for eternity. Prepare for the life to come. I had the privilege of sitting around Jim Ford. We need to slow down. There's opportunities all around you to share the love of God. Jim Ford and I were talking just the other day. I was with him last night and reading scripture to him. And here's what the Lord had me to read. I said, Jim, I want to read over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It talks about this old earthly body that's going to be like a tent and going to be torn down. But thank God it tells us about a new heavenly body, a new tabernacle. And then I said, Jim, let me read over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about this old body that's going to be sown in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power. I said, Jim, let me read over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the coming of the Lord. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those of us that remain are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Jim, let me read over here in Revelation 21:4, where there's not going to be any more sin and no more death and no more pain and no more sickness. The former things are going to be passed away. Jim, hey, we got a lot to look forward to. I know this old inner man right here is the outer man rather is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. How many can feel it every day? That old spirit is trying to push out of that body, saying, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. This old body is wearing out. The plumbing's leaking. The walls are leaning. The electricity is frayed. But one day, hallelujah, that spirit's going to depart from the body and be ushered in the presence of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Brother, that's our blessed hope. Brother, sister, that's what motivates us to keep on, keep it on. Slow down. Slow down. You ready to meet the Lord? You laying up your treasures in heaven? Can I tell you something? I just want to get real personal here. Y'all may disagree with me. I love you anyway. You know that. But I got to thinking about it. I know a lot of people today, with the economy like it is, the government like it is, are just sitting on thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, I'm not against saving. I'm not against being wise. But this is what I see. In a lot of cases, rather than sitting on hundreds and thousands of dollars, saving it for a rainy day, I'm not saying being foolish, but I'm saying this. I see a lot of people that die. I'm with a lot of families that die. And here's what I see sometimes. All the money that they've been sitting on, the government's going to come in and get a lot of it. I don't know about y'all. I don't want to give the government any more money. I'd rather give God the money. The government's going to come and take it. But people today have this mindset, what if this and what if this, and they're sitting on hundreds and thousands of dollars doing nothing, hoarding that, when God's work is in need, when the gospel is desperately needed, when we can invest in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. I believe that with all my heart. Some of you say, preacher, you're just saying that. No, I've dedicated my life to the Lord until the day I die by the grace of God. I'm going to still say it because I believe it is the greatest work on earth. Earth is the work of God. Can I get it? Amen. It's the greatest work on earth. Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on earth where rust and moth decays. Lay it up in heaven. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Why did he say that? There's a principle there. There's a principle there. And I'll tell you what, if our neighborhood, everybody was saved, if everybody in our neighborhood went to church, I wouldn't preach like this. But everybody's not going to church and everybody's not saved in Jasper County. And thank God we've been called to serve the Lord and spread the gospel. And praise God, it does take resources. God knows about it. I'm glad, thank God, he's met the needs and he's going to keep meeting the needs. Hallelujah. Has it been good to you? Oh, yeah. Number four. Fourth reason why we need to slow down. Let's say it one more time. Slow down. One more time. Slow down. You need to slow down. Why? Just to enjoy the journey with your family and friends. Why? To get to know Jesus better. Why? To prepare for the life hereafter. Number four. Since you've been blessed and I've been blessed, we can be blessing somebody else. Why did Mary waste 1 year's salary? That's what scholars tell us. Ah, she didn't waste it. But the disciples said she wasted. Hello. This could have been given to the poor. This could have been used for another purpose. Jesus said, lead her alone. She's done what she could. You see, God has blessed me. Has God blessed you? Is anybody here God's blessed? Is anybody just blessed beyond measure? Don't you want to be a blessing to somebody else? I said, don't you want to be a blessing to somebody else? I said, don't you want to bless somebody else? Hello! That's where the blessings come. When God blesses us, we become a blessing in return and bless those around us. I don't know who the Lord may be putting on your heart today to go be a blessing to. Be a blessing to them. I don't know in what way God may be telling you to go be a blessing. But I know this. We need to slow down. Since God's blessed us, we need to start blessing those around us. Come on, talk to me. Slow down. Number five, and I'll be done. Slow down and serve the Lord with the gifts you've been given. And share the love of Jesus with a lost and dying world. You've been given gifts, child of God. I know you're busy. I know you got this going on and that going on. But you know what, my brother and my sister? Sometimes if we're so busy, we don't have time to serve God. And I'm not just talking about on Sunday. I'm talking about a lifestyle of serving. Hello. If we're too busy to serve the Lord, we're too busy. Can I put it that way? Can y'all hear me? By the way, ministry don't just start and stop on Sunday. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We gather for worship. We scatter for witness. You know what's happening today? The Lord spoke my heart about this. Here's what's happening today. We're not getting lost people to church. There's 99.9% of people today, I dare say, I'm just looking around the crowd, with exception maybe just 99.9% of the crowd, when I look around on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday, both services, they're not lost people every once in a while. There was a time when we'd get lost people under the sound of the gospel and we'd see more people saved. But nowadays, I'm preaching mainly to saved people. But the gospel still hadn't changed, hallelujah. My point is saying this, let's, as a church, me too, let's purpose in our heart to get lost people to church, all right? Let's do it. Bring a gift to Jesus. I'm going to invite somebody to come to church and hear the word of God. Now, somebody said this. I don't know if it was David Livingston or another missionary, but I like what they said. They said this. Now, listen to me. Don't miss this. They said, if your Christianity cost you nothing, it's sure to accomplish nothing. If your Christianity cost you nothing, it's sure to accomplish nothing. Now, I know we're not saved by works, but brother, if there is someone who's saved, there will be some works. If your Christianity cost you nothing, it's not going to accomplish anything. Hello. You see, Jesus talked about taking up a cross, denying ourselves. It's going to cost you something to be a Christian if you want to make a difference. But I'll assure you this, it will be well worth it when you get to glory. It will be well worth it to sit around the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded crowns. Runner's crown, watcher's crown, soul winner's crown, shepherd's crown, crown of life. They're all listed in the Bible. I'm telling you, there's a hereafter. I'm telling you, it matters how we live now. Don't listen to the devil's lies. All right, here, listen to me. Aren't you glad that God takes ordinary people like me and you and does extraordinary things through us? Hallelujah. You say, but I don't think God will use me. Yes, he will. Slow down. Slow down. Abraham was too old, but God gave him a baby and gave him a covenant promise, a national promise, a personal promise, and a universal promise. Jacob was a liar, but God changed his name from Jacob Surplanter to Israel, a prince that prevails with God. Leah was ugly, but God used Leah to have some of the sons of Jacob and the lineage of Jacob. Joseph was abused, refused, and used, but Joseph didn't lose. He went from Papa's to the pit, from pit to the Potiphar's, from Potiphar's to prison, and from prison to prime minister. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Moses stuttered and stammered, yet God used him, one of the greatest leaders ever, led the children of Israel. Hey, listen to me, brother. Listen to me. Gideon was a scaredy cat, and God said, Gideon, I'm going to make you a mighty man of valor. And no wonder he defeated the Midianites with 300 men. Samson was a womanizer. That is, he was infatuated with the Philistine women, but God still used Samson for his glory. Oh, I want you to know, Rahab was a harlot, but the Lord put her in the genealogical line of our Lord Jesus Christ because of her faith, listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, David. What about David? David committed adultery, and David had a man killed, namely Uriah the Hittite, and he paid severely for it, by the way, but God still used him as one of the greatest kings in all of Israel. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Elijah was depressed. Elijah was down. But God said, get up, son. I've got more work for you to do. I'm telling you, 1 + God is a majority. Listen to me. Jonah ran from God. But you can run from God. But thank God you can't hide from God. God hemmed him up. And you know what God did? God sent a great revival over to the Ninevites. And brother, there were Ninevites being changed by the droves. Job was bankrupt and lost his children, his sons, his daughters, lost his sheep, lost his oxen, lost his camels, lost even his own health. But in the midst of all of that, Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God turned the captivity of Job in Job 42:10 when he prayed for his friends. Oh, I want you to know, Peter cursed and swore and said he didn't know the Lord and denied him three times. But Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to turn you from a sand man into a rock man. I'm going to make you a great soul winner. And Jesus said, I'm not finished with you yet, Peter. And no wonder he preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were swept in the family of God. And then he was instrumental in taking the gospel to Cornelius and his household, the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10. The disciples fell asleep when they should have been praying. No wonder they were falling when they should have been standing. But yet Jesus wasn't finished with the disciples. He said, go out and declare the whole counsel of God. And they turned the world upside down. And Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. But Jesus said, he that's been forgiven much loveth much. Oh, Martha's a complainer. Martha is worried about everything, but Jesus uses a woman named Martha. Oh, yeah, Paul, he's a murderer, but now he's turned into a mission-minded man who writes largely a large part inspired of the Holy Ghost, the New Testament. I'm telling you this. All it takes is a sling in the hand of David. All it takes is a rod in the hand of Moses. All it takes is 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in the hand of a little lad. And God can feed 5,000. Oh, yes, he can. About to get a little happy here. I'm telling you, our God's a great God. Our God's a mighty God. He's not finished with us yet. He wants to use us, ordinary people, for extraordinary tasks. It was the Lord who used Joseph, Arimathea, to use a borrowed tomb to put the Son of God in, but he came forth from the grave. It was Jesus that said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, child of God, listen. God's chosen us for a time such as this. My prayer is that you run the race. My prayer is you fight the fight, the good fight of faith. My prayer is you make a difference while there's time. And hallelujah, we'll get around the throne and say, worthy is the Lamb one day.
Amen.
Yes, amen, and amen, and amen. Stand to your feet, would you?